Love is patient. Or in the King James Version, it says, charity suffereth long. So we're continuing our revival of love this morning, and because Christ commanded us to love, and not just any kind of love, but the kind of love that is represented in agape, in that word agape, uniquely Christian, the commandment to love as Christ loves. For that's the kind of love that we want to learn how to do, and we want to love in that way. And Jesus said that if we do, then that will be the proof that we are his followers. And if we don't, then that will be the proof that we're not. So you could say, really, to the degree that we love like Christ did, then we are his disciples. To the degree that we're not, that we don't, we're not. So that gives us a choice of whether to view love through the lens of the law or to view the law through the lens of love. And Christ gave us the opportunity in his teachings to view everything through the lens of the law. When he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, they love God and love one another. So the Bible teaches us about love all the way through from the beginning to the end, but particularly in the New Testament, as it's demonstrated in the life and teachings of Jesus and of his followers. And it's encompassed in that distinctively Christian word that we've been mentioning, agape. It's defined then by the elements that we've been studying in this series on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as Paul described them. Let's sing that chorus again, that verse in Revive Us Again. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love, make each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory, revive us again. So today, the quality or character of love that we are going to be meditating on is long-suffering, which is also translated patience. Long-suffering is one of the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And in the dictionary, that long-suffering is patience with this little twist, that it also is enduring, long-lasting, or hardships. So that long-suffering kind of speaks to that part of us where we're being patient when it's the hardest to be patient, when it takes a long time, and when it's very difficult, and when we are facing struggles and challenges that we sometimes might even think they might not ever end, or we don't know how to get through them. That's what long suffering is. That's the kind of patience that is one of the many qualities of love, to bear with it, to stay with it, to bear the difficulties no matter how difficult things are. And sometimes they can be very difficult and fearsome and challenging. It's demonstrated by Jesus himself and by his followers, by Jesus in all of the hardships that he endured. You know, he was patient with people all the way through his ministry, at times when we would not be. In fact, a lot of times, you know, people's response, even from the pulpit sometimes, is almost like, you know, to just let go of people when you don't like what they're doing or anything, just, you know, let them go. But Jesus never did that. He He gave his life for everybody. He gave his service for everybody. And when people are having trouble with their faith, a lot of times the natural response is then just to tell them just to forget it, because without faith, you know, they can't be a part of that group or something. But Jesus' response was to go and help them get faith, help them and teach them faith. He was always working with people patiently. He wasn't getting rid of anybody. He wanted everybody to be included and be involved and be a part of his body. And so he was very patient and demonstrated that in all of his teachings and all of his. But maybe some of the things that he went through because of that, we would have already given up a long time before he did, wouldn't we? And especially the insults that he endured and the challenges from religious people that he endured about what he was doing. But he kept going all the way to the cross. And even on the cross, he was patient. I wouldn't be patient. I'm not, to just confess. We say, well, we would like to think we would, but, you know, that would be just so far beyond me. I don't even think I could even go that far. He was praying for the very people who were torturing him while they were torturing him. And I probably wouldn't do that. That would be good if we could. And that's kind of our goal, really, is that our love would be that reflective of Christ. But what a wonderful, marvelous demonstration of patience that he gave. Not only him, but his followers. And so maybe we would, you know, if we continue to follow him, we would be like his apostles. Like Stephen, for example, he was one of his followers, and he did exactly that. He might not have thought he ever would either, you know, but while they were torturing him to death, he prayed the same prayer for them as Christ prayed for those who killed him. And all the other apostles and followers down through history that have just stayed with the faith and continued to love and to patiently work in building the kingdom of God, regardless of how tough it became. And clear up till St. Peter was talking about at the end of time, we kind of think, well, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe the Lord's not going to come back, because he hasn't come back yet. This has been a long time. Of course, now it's been even a longer time. But Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, patient, long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that's a pretty good examples of people inviting us to patience and to practice that and to learn it. There's pictures of Jesus. I have one, and you probably have some, or we've all seen these pictures of Jesus as a carpenter working away. And that's how the Bible presents Jesus, as the carpenter and the son of the carpenter. And so their trade was to work as carpenters do now, and other people in other professions, to work carefully with their tools, to create something, taking the time that is needed to produce the desired results, and persistently applying their skills to their trade to attain the goal. And that's what love is. That's part of what love is. That's the patience part of it, is to be carefully working with our skills and with our knowledge and doing what we know we can do, and trying to do a better job, and just trying to take care and learn our tools, the tools of whatever trade it is, and learn more about it, and study and show ourselves approved, and be that workman or work person who is trying to get the job done with great care and get it done right. And taking the time. That's why I put the snail on there, you know, because sometimes it takes time, doesn't it? And that's probably one of the biggest obstacles, at least for me and most people, I guess, for being patient. we can be patient for a minute, you know, but not pretend. That's unreasonable, right? And much of the difficulties and struggles and challenges that we face take a long time to get through. And so that patience, with patience, we need to take the time to get through whatever it is we're going through, to get done with whatever we're getting done with, to take time with each other and give each other the time also to be patient and just hold on and keep working at things and let it take its time. Haste makes waste, as the saying goes. And sometimes I might take that too a little too far myself, you know, take too much time. Sometimes I might be a little too slow. But we at least need to let it take the time that it takes, because any project that's worth doing is going to take some time to accomplish, isn't it? It's going to just, and if we don't put that time into it, then we're just going to come up short somewhere. And then the other part of that is just what my dad always called stick-to-itiveness, the persistence, just to keep with it and keep working at it. Keep chipping away, keep hammering away, keep at it, and don't give up. Because no matter how much time you give to it, how much skill you put into it, whatever, how much quality, then still, if you stop before it's done, then it's not going to get done. And then it's over with when we stop. And so to stay with it, don't give up. That's that patience of Job, isn't it? That's who we think of in the Bible when we think about patience. And somebody might have said that you had the patience of Job. They didn't really say that about me, but they might have said that about you. Or maybe we have said that. We could think of somebody that fits that, don't we, in our lives, who maybe with us has been that patient. And it's because Job went through such difficult challenges in his life, with his family and his friends, with his relationship with God, with his feelings about himself, and his sickness, and his health, and his finances, and just every little part of his life was just like it was under attack by the devil. That's how it's presented in the scripture. It was just horrible. And yet, he was faithful, and he stayed with it. He was persistent. And in the end, everything came out okay. But in the meantime, he went through a lot. But he was patient. He was long-suffering. And that's what Christ invites us to in the scripture today. Jesus had a parable of the importunate woman. And that was this lady that had been, something happened and she needed justice. So she went to the judge. But the judge, he didn't want to fool with it. So he just told her to go away. Well, then she came back the next day. And he sent her away. And every day she kept coming back, and every day he kept sending her away until finally he heard her case, just not because he cared about her, but because he just wanted to get her out of his hair. You know, she was just persistent enough that finally she accomplished what she was. And then Jesus said, be like that. Just hang in there and keep working at it and keep going. And he was talking about prayer and things like that. So with our patience, then we continue and we keep moving forward, and we just keep going until we accomplish, until we attain the goal. Paul wrote to the Philippians and he said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And if anybody was ever patient and persistent, it was Paul, wasn't it? Because he just kept with the faith, even though he was brutalized many times and imprisoned and finally executed for his faith. And meanwhile, he's being ridiculed by people and everything else, but he kept going. And look what we have. We have this book of 1 Corinthians and all the other letters that he wrote to guide us today, and all the people whose lives he influenced and how they handed down the faith to us through the centuries. And so for him it was very important just to keep going right all the way through, be faithful to the last breath because of what was laid ahead of him. And that's what Jesus, he said that about Jesus too. He said, you know, that for the joy that was laid out before him, he endured all of this suffering. And so that calls us to think about what are our highest goals. And one of them is, isn't it, to be Christ-like? Don't we want to be like Christ? And that's what Christ invites us in his commandment. Love others as I have loved you. That's his invitation to us to do. And so that's what we want to do. We want to love like Christ has loved. And this is an important part of what that is. Really encompasses almost all the other qualities, or touches on them in some way. Because if we're not going to be patient, we're not going to do all the rest of them either, because they all require patience. They all require us to put up with each other. Require you to put up with me, and me with you, and us with them, and them with us. They're just like that. And so we want to be Christ-like and have that kind of Christ-like patience until that our love is perfected. God's love perfected in us. And in every respect, we love perfectly as Christ loves perfectly. We're invited to that. That's the sanctification of the Scripture that calls us to perfect love, to constantly be, clearing out anything in our lives that keeps us from being able to love perfectly. And if we see a problem there, then we get rid of it. We change it. We make whatever changes are necessary to keep making improvements in the way that we love God and love one another. And ultimately, our image is heaven, isn't it? That's where we're going with all of this. Not as some place that we can get into and drive over there. Not as a geographical location here or in outer space or anywhere else, but as a spiritual place, heaven, the place where that our love has grown to be perfect, where that we all love one another. There's no fear, no hatred, no sickness, no sin, no death, no one, excluded. Everyone involved and included and caring for each other and supportive of each other. And with a love that transcends any differences that we might have or any other things in our lives, because we want to be like Christ. And we want everything to be perfect for ourselves and for each other. And so then that's where we're going with all of this. We're going to that state of perfect love. And the psalm says, oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound to the promised land. Because Christ invites us there. He's preparing that place for us. It's there. And we have the opportunity to be moving into it with every loving word and deed that we're a part of. Here's a hymn by Charles Wesley. And are we yet alive and see each other's face? Glory and thanks to Jesus give for his almighty grace. Preserved by power divine to full salvation here, again in Jesus' praise we join and in his sight appear. What troubles have we seen, what mighty conflicts past, fightings without and fears within since we assembled last. Yet out of all the Lord hath brought us by his love, and still he doth his help afford and hides our life above. Then let us make our boast of his redeeming power, which saves us to the uttermost, till we can sin no more. Let us take up the cross, till we the crown obtain, and gladly reckon all things lost, so we may Jesus gain. So here's our invitation. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 19, In your patience possess ye your souls. We're invited to decide, make these decisions. What is the most important thing that you want in your life? What is most important to you? What is important enough to you to be worth being patient about? And what is it then that we're willing to give up in order to enable us to have the time and the energy and everything that goes into being patient? Because it takes a little bit to do that. You don't just say, well, okay, I'm going to feel patient, I'm going to act patient, I'm not going to complain or something. But it's going to take, you know, we're going to patiently work with something over here, and then we're going to have to let go of something else over here, aren't we? And if we're going to put our attention and quality in one area, then it's going to pull it away from something else. And so what is that going to be? What are you going to give up in order to accomplish what you really want more? And then to decide this morning and make that commitment that we're going to be patient, that we're going to be intentional in the quality and the time and the results for what we feel in our hearts that we want the most. It doesn't have to be just one thing, by the way. I'm not trying to make you think about one thing over everything else. Make it a handful of things. But surely, you know, as you think about things, you know there's things in our minds and in our hearts that are more important to us than other things that are important to us too. So we have to sort that out just a little bit and take several of those things that are most important and focus in on them and say, these are the things that are worth my long suffering. And I'm going to commit myself to being patient and working on these areas, even at the cost of other things that are important to me as well. So we're invited this morning, invite you to step out into the aisle, make your way to the altar, kneel down in prayer for your part in this time of revival according to where you are spiritually at this hour. Perhaps if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then we invite you to come and ask Him to come into your heart, or maybe to be sanctified, filled with His perfect love, filled with His Holy Ghost, to make this kind of commitment that we're talking about and to follow Him and implement His teachings in your life and engage the world. Discipleship. In the name of Jesus.